try and class up the program now for at least a few minutes. On this 4th of July weekend, Americans will be gathering in public parks in small towns and big cities, and the sound of brass bands will be heard throughout the land. It's a tradition that goes back more than a century. In fact, the oldest continually performing musical ensemble of the United States is a brass one, though of a different sort. It's a trombone choir in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and it's part of a long history of trombone music in America. As independent producer John Kalish reports, it's a history that spans the secular and the sacred.
One more flight over there.
Members of the Moravian Church Trombone Choir climb to the belfry of the Central Church in Bethlehem, where they perform a chorale.
In Europe, it was the tradition to announce happenings within the towns from the highest point in the town.
Don Kemmerer is the leader of Bethlehem's Moravian Trombone Choir.
A lot of the churches had belfries or towers specially built, and then brass groups would climb these towers and do all kinds of announcements of things happening in the village. Vivaldi and Telemann all wrote various forms of tower music, which is music basically designed to be played in towers.
On this particular morning, the choir's chorale is to announce the death of a church member. The choir also continues the Moravian traditions of playing at cemeteries during interment services and on street corners throughout Bethlehem on Easter Day. There are 7 Moravian church trombone choirs in the U.S. and Canada, including one outside of Los Angeles that has performed with as many as 100 trombones. Secular trombone choir in San Francisco called the Bay Bones is an ad hoc group that sometimes numbers 80 trombonists. A trombone choir can include soprano instruments the size of trumpets and contrabass trombones that have extra tubing that takes them down to the range of tubas. Billy Robinson, the leader of the Bay Bones, says that's why they're a choir.
It has been said that the timbre of the trombone is the closest instrument to the human voice. The pitch range is very good because we can use soprano, alto, tenor, bass, and contrabass trombones, so the range is quite wide. Therefore, it works quite well as a choir.
This beautiful, warm, majestic, regal sonority, and you can kind of feel it in your gut, you know.
Steve Turay is a veteran jazz trombonist who plays in the Saturday Night Live band. Like many trombonists, jazz and otherwise, he's been inspired by the work of the late J.J. Johnson and Kai Winding. The two trombonists led an influential group in the 1950s. Turay's latest recording, featuring a 6-trombone ensemble, pays tribute to Johnson.
That wasn't just some trombone players that got called for a gig. I handpicked these guys as descendants of J.J. Johnson, meaning that they were influenced by that style. And even though they have their own personalities and voices, they are extensions of that school, taking that approach into the future. There wasn't the slightest feeling of competition at the record. Everybody was there for the music and for the trombone.
The Brotherhood of the Bone is a tight-knit family that spans disciplines. Classical musicians have J.J. Johnson recordings, and jazz players know the work of another legendary trombonist.
All right, we'll just do a little soft tonguing on scales, just for relaxation. Now give me the F scale.
That's the late Emery Remington, recorded in 1971. Remington was known as the chief at the University of Rochester's Eastman School of Music, where he founded a trombone choir in 1941. Thanks to Remington and his disciples, there are now trombone choirs at music schools across the country. Irv Wagner was a student of Remington's at Eastman in the 1960s. He still remembers the experience of playing with dozens of other trombonists there.
I can remember every time we got together, it was a major thrill. And the music was so beautiful. You were around colleagues who were wonderful players. Mostly in those days it was chorales and slow kinds of things to teach people to match tones, to play in tune together, to articulate together, and, you know, just make music as a unit.
Wagner, who now teaches trombone at the University of Oklahoma, has played with a church trombone choir in Washington, D.C.
So many of the players in that group that weren't really trained musicians, they were sometimes playing the most difficult things you can imagine and doing it very, very well, but no one had told them that was hard yet. And it was just thrilling. It was moving, inspirational. It was a great religious and musical experience all wrapped together in one.
United House of Prayer for All People is an African-American denomination found mostly on the East Coast. The McCullough Sons of Thunder is perhaps the most famous of the United House of Prayer trombone choirs. The Sons of Thunder have been playing for the faithful in Harlem since 1962. The band is led by 58-year-old Edward Babb.
I fast and I pray that God will instill in me something that would make the people stand on their feet and clap their hands. And that's primarily the job of the bands in the House of Prayer, is to provide music for the people to dance and give praises to God.
Composes the vast majority of the works played by the McCullough Sons of Thunder. He has never written any of them out.
I was 18 when the thing started. I was always humming something in the street, home, you know, in the bed, laying down, just humming things, and I had a fantastic memory. I was able to remember it.
This recording of the McCullough Sons of Thunder in rehearsal was made in 1989. Since then, the church has become reluctant to let the group be recorded, and the trombone choir has declined invitations to play at nightclubs where alcohol is served.
This is sacred music. This music has healing power because it's come directly from heaven, and it's not commercialized. If we commercialize it, it would lose its power.
But the public is welcome to go hear the McCullough Sons of Thunder play every Sunday in Harlem. For NPR News, I'm John Kalish in New York.
And our thanks to Nick Spitzer for some of the recordings heard in that story.